welcome to the Sterling Foursquare Church podcast. Our mission is to offer hope for the broken, lives that are thriving, the equipping of believers, and the launching of leaders. More info can be found at sterlingfoursquare.com. Thank you for joining us today.
Well, good morning. As always, it's great to see you, and it's great to see me, I'm sure. Sometimes if you need a compliment, you just have to compliment yourselves, and you should feel free to do that on occasion. We have all been in situations where we have felt like we were just treading water, just trying to stay afloat, maybe the language you would use, or, hey, I'm just trying to keep my head up or above water. You may raise your hand and say, Pastor, that's my whole 2020 so far, and it doesn't look like things are going to be changing. But we've all been in that place where we felt like we were just kind of struggling to just keep our equilibrium and to keep ourselves afloat. There was an interesting experiment that was done in the 1950s. It was at Johns Hopkins University, and a professor decided to do an experiment that was looking at the endurance of lab rats and their ability to swim. And so what he did is he took a dozen domesticated rats, so rats that were used to being handled, rats that were used to kind of being in and around the lab, and one at a time he put them in a jar by themselves, singular, half filled up with water, and he placed them in there, and he just sat back to watch to see really kind of what would happen. And the rats would begin to swim, as would be the case, and the first rat that he put into the jar did a single lap around the top of the jar, trying to find a way out, and finding none, immediately dove down to the bottom, nosed around the bottom of the jar, and finding none, gave up and drowned. Inside 2 minutes, it was done. And that was kind of a curious thing, because rats are pretty good swimmers, and so he tried it with a second, and the same thing happened. Inside just a few minutes, that one expired as well, and then the third rat. And he continued on in the experiment, and what was interesting to him is that the next nine didn't expire in the same way. In fact, they swam for days and days and days, and he found that kind of curious. It's a little bit of a morbid experiment, but stay with me. And so he moved from that, and he began to do the experiment not on domesticated rats that were used to people and being handled, but he actually went out and he caught straight-up street rats. He got 34 straight from the streets, aggressive, mean, proficient swimmers, and performed the same experiment with that group. And he would expect maybe something different. I don't know what your kind of thoughts would be if you were hypothesizing what the outcome of that was going to be. But he took the first rat and he placed it in the jar. It did a lap around the top, dove down to the bottom, did a lap around the bottom, gave up and drowned. And all 34 in succession, one after the other, was the same result. And so now he was really confused. Because you would think that the animals that were aggressive, that were kind of used to a harsh environment, that were enduring, ones that were proficient swimmers, you would think that you would see a different result between, you know, kind of the soft and coddled rats that were used to people. And so he began to wonder about what the results of this might be saying. And so a third time, he does the experiment with kind of rats that were all similar, and he put them in the jar. And he would place them in the jar, and he would watch them swim, and they'd swim around the top, and they'd swim around the bottom, and they would come up, and as he would see them begin to fatigue and noticing the point of where they would give up, he would reach in, and he would pick the rat up, and he would just hold it in his hand. And he would just hold it there for a brief moment, and then he would place it back in the jar. And what he noticed is that each time he did that to the rats that were taken out, given a moment of respite, and placed back in, continued for days and days and days on end. And the ones that were neglected, within minutes, all would perish. And so what he wrote was this. He said that the similar interlude, the small interlude, just that moment, made a huge difference. The rats that experienced a brief reprieve swam longer and lasted much longer than the rats that were left to roam alone. They also recovered immediately. When they would be at that point of exhaustion and he would take them out and place them in his hand, it was as if in moments they were reinvigorated and they were back to being fine. And so he was noting all of this. When the rats learned that they weren't doomed, that the situation was not lost, that there might be a helping hand, in short, when they had a reason to keep swimming, they all did. They did not give up, and they did not go under. And in his notes, kind of at the end of his experiment, he made this statement. He said, after the elimination of hopelessness, the rats do not die. That was just his simple scientific observation. That when you eliminated the hopelessness of the situation, they continued to swim. And so what he saw and what he kind of understood in his perspective was that hope made the difference. Not hope of the situation necessarily changing because they were put back into the same environment. It was the same lap around the top. It was the same lap around the bottom. It was hope that they would have it interrupted, that there was going to be an interruption and a reprieve. And if they could hold out long enough for that, it was going to be okay. It's very difficult to remain hopeful when we are facing a difficulty or an uncertainty that seems to be without end. Have you been there? I know you have. You may right now have something heavy on your heart that you're like, that is my situation. That's my glass jar right now. When it's prolonged, there is a tendency for us to begin to give in to despair because we don't see an end in sight. And when there's no end in sight, very often we just kind of come to the end of ourselves. And the book of Proverbs talks a little bit about that, kind of frames it out in a very succinct, direct sentence. But in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 12, the first part of the verse, it says that hope deferred makes the heart sick. That when hope goes unrealized, that it has a profound impact on the whole of our person. The Message version says that unrelenting disappointment leaves you heart sick. Have you experienced that? Have you been in that place? In the last 6 months, there has been times where in my conversations with the Lord, where I've literally said, God, I cannot endure one more disappointment. Like, I just can't take one more thing disappointing me. And it could be something as simple as I wanted extra pickles and I got no pickles, but that's going to be the breaking point. I can't deal with one more disappointment. Because those things have a tendency to suck our hope away. And when we give way to hopelessness, despair is right at the door. And when we are overcome with despair, we give up. We want to quit. We want to tap out. Such an interesting thing in that experiment. Well, just one lap around the top with no end in sight, and one lap around the bottom with no end in sight. Tapping out, I'm done. When what we hope for doesn't happen, when what we hope for doesn't come, sometimes it feels like it's going to be the end of us. It's real quiet in here. Because you can sense this in our world. You can sense this in our community. You can sense this in our nation. You can sense this around. People losing hope and people giving way to despair. And all sorts of damaging results that come from that. From people lashing out at others to people taking on behavior that is destructive to themselves. Like, we can sense that. We can feel that. And part of the issue with hope being lost is it's being placed in the wrong thing. Where you place your hope today really, really matters. If you've got your Bible, I want to encourage you to go ahead and pull it out. If you've got your smartphone or your tablet, go ahead and open that up. Lord, we ask that you would give us eyes to see and soft hearts to hear and receive what you would speak to us through your word today. Lord, we pray that it would go down deep, that it would nourish our souls, that it would encourage us, Lord, to, in spite of life's circumstances, to even so hope and to put that hope in the right place. In Jesus' name, amen. Where you place your hope is really important. And a lot of times, the things that we put our hope in really have an expiration date. We'll put our hope in our situation change. We'll put our hope in our finances, maybe a promotion. We'll put our hope in a new relationship. We'll put our hope in a change in our relationship. We want to see a shift. We want to see something take place. Or we want to go back to what was normal or what was experienced or what was at least good enough. Like we'll put our hope oftentimes in the circumstances around us or the things that are at our own disposal. But in all of those things, our hope is misplaced. And there's a point where our hope will go unrealized. And at the point of our hope being unrealized, hopelessness is at the door and despair is right on its heels. And then we're prone to give up. But in Psalm chapter 31, the psalmist is going to encourage us to put our hope in something different. And in fact, we're going to look at a number of psalms today. It's a great place to go when you're wrestling through hope and trust and some things that are correlated to that. But in Psalm chapter 31, verse 24, the psalmist writes, "Be strong and take heart." You know, this could be keep on swimming, keep going, endure, don't tap out, don't quit, don't give up. "Be strong and take heart, all who hope in the Lord." All who hope in the Lord. See, a lot of times we put our hope in the wrong place, either in a change of circumstance, or we put a hope in what is in our own control and what is at our own disposal. We actually hope more in ourselves than we do in the Lord more often than not. We wouldn't say that because as people of faith, we know that that's wrong. But we will live that out in a practical way day after day after day, where we're frustrated at the results of what's going on in our lives. And so we're gonna put our hope in our strength. We're going to put our hope in our resources. We're going to put our hope in our finances, or maybe in, you know, the government subsidy. They're going to help us out a little bit. We're going to put our hope in our own power or our own ability. We'll put our hope into our intellect, maybe our degrees. We'll put our hope into our title, our place of influence. We'll put our hope into our rights and into our might. And those things can get us far. They can do some good things, but they all expire at some point. And at the point of expiration, hopelessness is waiting. Sometimes we'll even misplace our hope in our spiritual disciplines. The things that are supposed to draw us closer to the Lord, we'll actually put our hope in those. How many of us have approached our prayer life in a way that our hope is if we pray the right prayer, we get the right result? See, we're hoping in our effort. We're hoping in what we can do for ourselves, and then God will give the nod and go along with us. But it's a misplaced hope, and it's so easy to do that, to take our eyes off of the Lord and to put it on the other things that we have more direct control over. And so we feel as if maybe we can impact our situation better, but we're just swimming in circles, and it's only a matter of time. Our hope has to go into a different place. And so where you place your hope this morning, just entertain that question for yourself. Where is your hope this morning? Is your hope in the Lord, or is it hope in something else? Even something that's kind of spiritual, but it's still misplaced. Can I tell you, it's just a matter of time till you run to the end of yourself, where there's no more of you. And it's at that point that you need the Lord to interrupt, to intervene, to rescue you out of that place. And so your hope has to be looking somewhere else. Your hope has to be in the Lord. Where we place our hope is important. But it's also important how we place our hope. If you're a note taker, where we place the hope, you can just put Jesus, God, Lord. It's really simple this morning. And you can move on to point number two. How do we place our hope? And what we're going to discover in just a moment is one of the ways that we place our hope is not in the activity of our life. And this is where many of us, we kind of trip up on this. We make some mistakes here because there are some things related in Scripture that all kind of go hand in hand. But if we don't differentiate them, we can be focusing on the wrong thing. One of the things that you'll find is that you'll find that there's a close connection between faith and trust, and belief, and hope. that those things all kind of go together. And in some places, kind of the idea of belief and trust and faith are almost kind of used interchangeably, even though they're different words in the Greek and they have different emphasis. But the idea is that these things lead to a demonstrated activity in our life. Right? That at some point you don't get to just profess faith, you have to take a step of faith. At some point when you say, I trust God, you actually have to do the trust fall back into His loving hands. You don't just get to say, I trust you, but skip the part of putting your full weight on Him. The same concept is true in beliefs, that there is an action that is really required for those to be experienced in our lives, that we act on those things. But hope is not primarily an action, it's a feeling. And not just like, ooh, a lovey-dovey feeling, and not to be like metaphysical or pseudo-spiritual, but it has to do with a core conviction and an orientation of your heart and your mind and soul towards the focus of where all of that is going. Hope is something that is primarily a feeling and an orientation of who we are. And it's not primarily an action. What hope does is gives us the courage to then take an active faith, or an active trust, or an active belief. Psalm chapter 33, verse 20 says this: we wait in hope for the Lord. We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. See, we don't like to wait. Well, maybe I don't like to wait. We'll just make it personal. I can speak for me. I don't like to wait. Waiting is really, really hard. Waiting is super difficult, especially when you have to wait in a way that is wholly passive, where you can't contribute to the speeding up of the process or the change of the outcome, when you are just stuck where you are and there's no way out, and you just have to wait. See, that's not my preference. That's not my tendency. I would rather take a step of faith with the Lord. I would rather do something and feel like I was impacting my situation, that I had some type of measure of impact on what's going on in the world around me. But that always redirects me back towards my activity and what I bring to the complemented partnership with the Lord. And there are places where that doesn't apply, where you just have to wait. And in that waiting, if you're waiting for the situation to change, you will lose hope. If you are waiting for the person to change, you may lose hope. If you're waiting for the circumstance, the experience, the outcome, the result, if you're waiting for the environment to change, if you're waiting for everything else to change in that season, you are likely to find yourself disappointed and losing hope. Because you're hoping on the situation, the person, the others, or maybe even for a change in yourself. But you're putting your hope in a result or outcome. You're not putting your hope in the Lord. See, it's hard to wait. Psalm 130, verse 5, the psalmist writes, I wait for the Lord. My whole being waits. And in His word, I put my hope. See, there's a connection between waiting and hope. Just like there's a connection between like faith and activity. But there's a connection between waiting and hope. What happens is when I wait and place my hope on the Lord, what begins to build in me is endurance. Perseverance, stick-to-itiveness. I'm going to stick this out. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to quit. In the experiment, you see that just in a general sense, in the way that creation works, that when the hopelessness is disrupted, even in the experiment, when the animal's hope is not in its swimming ability, its craftiness, its ability to escape, but if it knows that if I just hang on long enough, I will be rescued, then it can endure. It can continue. It builds endurance. And so we have to learn to wait, and that doesn't mean to wait in inactivity. You may be swimming for your life right now. You may be fighting for your marriage. You may be fighting for your finances. You may be fighting to withstand being drawn back into addiction. There are so many things that might be pressing you right now, and you will. You'll have to endure, and there is activity of faith in that, where you fight in faith, and you trust God wholeheartedly, and you continue to go, but it's not hoping that somehow you manipulate a change in your situation. Your hope is that God will step in and redeem it. Like, your hope is in Him, not in what you can do. And it's a subtle shift, but it's an easy thing for us to take our eyes off of the Lord and put it onto so many other things. Some of us, all of our hopes are in the next election. Some of us, all of our hopes are in the next economic stimulus. All of our hopes are wrapped up in this person changing, or this break at work, or this promotion. They're wrapped up in the wrong things. Our hope has to be in the Lord. And what's really interesting to me is that when you put your hope in the Lord, like, He doesn't disappoint. Like, you may be disappointed at times, and even disappointed with the Lord, but ultimately, if your hope is in Him, Scripture even tells us this, that those who hope in the Lord, they will not be disappointed. You always come out ahead with Jesus. He always intervenes and works for good, even the things of brokenness in your life, when you love Him and respond to His calling. See, so we have to wait in that hope, and it's uncomfortable. I don't like that. Pastor Ben does not like that. But we wait in hope. Not that just the world somehow changes and things get better, but we wait in hopeful expectation that God is going to act on our behalf. My hope is in Him, regardless of what happens in the world around me and in the relationships around me and the things that I'm caught up in, that I will place my hope in the Lord. And there's something that happens as a result of that. In Isaiah chapter 40, it's talking a little bit about that idea. It says that God gives strength to the weary, that He increases the power of the weak, that even youth grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord, those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. That at that point of exhaustion, at that point of saying, man, God, I can't go any further. I've got to tap out of this. I'm at the end of myself. That if your hope is in the Lord, that He comes to your rescue. That when you come to the end of yourself, you find that He's not expired. That there hasn't been an end to Him, and that He can sustain you. Much like at that point of giving up, the experiment is interrupted and the hand rescues from the water. That at that point, if you would hope in the Lord, that He will renew your strength, and it's not a momentary respite, but now you soar into the things of God. And Paul talks a little bit about this as well. He uses the concept a little bit differently, but in his letter to Corinth, the second letter, he talks about the reality of the struggles that we're in. And they're both very real, practical, physical, and they're very real and practical, spiritual. And as he's describing what oftentimes is the experience of the Christ follower, he says that we are hard-pressed on every side, but we're not crushed. We're perplexed, but we're not in despair. We're persecuted, but we have not been abandoned. We've been struck down, but we're not destroyed. And later on in verse 16, he says, therefore, because of that, we do not lose heart. We don't give up. We don't tap out. We keep swimming. Because even though, yes, the present reality of our situation may be difficult, and we may be just treading water trying to stay afloat, we do not lose heart, because our hope is in the Lord. See, what hope does is hope gives you the confidence to actually act on your faith, to act on the trust, to act on the belief. It causes us to stay the course of action. When I look and I'm doing the things that God has called me to do, but I don't see a change, when I'm sharing my faith with my coworker, and now the persecution at work has been amped up. Nobody wants to hear about my faith. I'm actually in a more hostile environment as a result of it. Maybe I should just, well, should you or should you keep swimming? Should you keep fighting for your marriage? Should you keep serving your children? Should you continue to extend a hand of generosity, even though you know you've got yourself into a tight financial situation? Are you going to continue to do the things that you know that honor the Lord? Or without a change in circumstance, are you tempted to lose hope and tap out because your hope was in things changing, not in the one who is unchanging? See, it matters where we place our hope, and it matters how we place our hope. And for many of us, we need to stop struggling at areas in our life with our own strength, and we need to wait in hope for the Lord to step in and do what He does, to bring about the difference, to bring about that difference. And the interesting thing about hope and having it placed in the right place and placed in the right way. Can I tell you a secret this morning? It's not really a secret. If you've received Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've already actually done this. When you said yes to Jesus, when you surrendered your life to the Lord, when you said, I'm at the end of myself, I cannot save myself, I need a Savior, when you confessed Jesus is Lord and Savior, you actually redirected the hope of your life off of yourself, off of everything that you bring to the table, off of the hopes that you had misplaced on people or on the world at large. You actually have already redirected that onto the Lord. You've already done that. We just forget. We have to be reminded that that's already taken place. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 21, as Peter's writing to the church, and they're going through an intense time of persecution at the writing of this letter, he says, through Him, speaking of Jesus, you believe in God. It's through Jesus and His work in you that you have put your faith in God, who raised Him, being Jesus, from the dead and glorified Him. Now look at this last part of the verse. So your faith and hope are in God. If you've professed Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've already put your hope in the Lord. You've already placed your hope in Christ. That's awesome, because it means that you've already done part of the hard part. Now we just need to be reminded to continue that, to endure in that, and to not fall to the temptation of dropping our eyes from the One who really is the only place we can put our hope and not have it be disappointed, and to keep from putting our eyes and our hope on other things that are going to expire. And that reminder is really important for you today. If you would say, man, I'm a follower of Christ, if you would identify yourself as a Christian, if you would use the language that said that you have received salvation or been born again or whatever that language or vocabulary that you learned kind of growing up to say, man, I'm sold out for Jesus, you need to be reminded of that. You need to be reminded of putting your hope in Him. If you haven't made that decision, you need to do that today, because your hope is misplaced. And hopelessness will be at the end of your struggle, and you will give way to despair. And the way that we remind ourselves that, the way that I reorient my gaze back to the Lord, reorient my hope back to the right place, has a lot to do with what I focus on and what I take in. My kids get a number of different children's magazines, and they got one a couple weeks ago, and on the front of it was a bunch of flamingos, kind of cool, big birds, and it says, "You are what you eat," across the top. And I thought, I wonder what flamingos taste like, because that's how I am. But it wasn't talking about that. It was talking about where flamingos get the pigment to their feathers. I don't know if you know this. Maybe many of you do. But they get the pink pigment in their feathers from their diet. It's from the shrimp that they eat. And if you actually take away that diet, If you don't sustain that, birds in captivity, they'll lose the pigmentation from their feathers. It's a great picture of what happens, that what we take into us impacts us. And can I tell you that for many of us, we haven't been reminded that we've placed our hope in the Lord, and we haven't continued to do that with any measure of purpose or intentionality. What we've begun to do is feed our hearts and our minds with souls, with garbage, and we've placed our hope in those things. We've placed our hope in our finances. We've placed our hope on the next election. We've placed our hope in kind of a cure or a vaccine or a relaxed restrictions. We've put our hope into so many other things. Parents, we're hoping for school, right? Because you just need a day to sleep, don't you? As soon as that happens, you're going to call in to work. Man, I got to sleep. I haven't slept since. How long has this been going on? It's been that long. But we put our hope into so many other things. We need to be reminded of where our hope needs to go. And some of us need to change our diet. Some of us need to change our diet. Can I tell you that there were days that I have felt deep despair, that I felt an impending hopelessness for the world around me. And I can't tell you how quick and fleeting that goes away when I turn off my phone and when I close my computer and I pay attention to my kids and I spend some time in God's Word, and it seems like, you know what? There is hope after all. Where did that come from? See, some of us need to change our diet, and I'll give you a few things that you can do this week that maybe starts to reorient your perspective, your gaze, where you're putting your hope. One is spend some intentional time in Scripture this week. Open up your Bible, spend some time in there. And in particular, find a story, because stories kind of have a way of keeping our attention. And there's tons of stories in Scripture of people who were dealing with despair and hopelessness, and they were at the point where they could have and probably should have, in all practical terms, just given up, and then God did something remarkable. Man, feed your heart and your soul with that and watch your hope be lifted and then your faith be activated as a result. Spend some time in God's Word this week. Here's another practical thing that has been helpful for me over the months. Choose a worship anthem that's like your theme song. It's like it's your theme music for the week. In the last 6 to 8 months, I have had different songs that have just kind of pinged something in my heart and my soul. They've awakened faith and hope in me, and it's like, this is my jam. And then, like, next week, it's a different jam. But for that week, it's my jam. And so I get in the truck, and the kids get in, and we close the door, and Spotify's on, and it's like, Dad, can we listen to? No, this is my anthem. This is my song right now. And I'm singing it as loud as I can. The windows are up because I care about the community around me. But in my truck, it's me and my kids can suffer. And I'm singing. But it's like the anthem of my soul. And then all of a sudden, there's another song. You can seek out these things where it's like, yes, that's what I needed. That calls me to courageous faith. Or that calls me to selfless love of the world. Like that, it calls the things out of me that I know that I want to be as a man of God, as a woman of God. You can have that called out. Find an anthem this week. And then engage in some conversations that put Jesus at the center of it. See, when we talk about dealing with despair and hopelessness, like, we would all want to put on our plastic smile and present it as something that happens to others but not to us. But the reality is that you're walking through that. I'm walking through that. We've walked through that. It's either looming in front or you're right in the middle of it, or you just left it a little bit ago. But everybody here knows what I'm talking about. And I can tell you that conversations that I've had with friends and family and colleagues that have centered on Jesus have done something to build hope and faith in me in those moments where I felt like I was wavering. Tend to your diet. Feed your heart and your mind and your soul things that orient you towards the only place that you can put your hope and have it not disappointed. Worship team, if you would come back forward. Congregation, I want to invite you to stand this morning. We're going to entertain just a few questions here as we allow the Lord to search our hearts and speak to us today. I'm going to ask you to take just a moment as we do this to close your eyes. That's not for any overtly spiritual purpose or for piety's sake. It's just to close out distractions and allow the Lord to speak to your heart, and maybe for you to be a little bit more open towards that prospect. How might your life look this week if you chose to hope in the Lord rather than hope that your circumstances change? If you chose to put your hope back in the Lord rather than hoping in your strength or ability to create the preferred future that you wanted, if you put your hope back in the Lord, instead of having it in a political figure or a party or a specific result, what would your life look like if you put your hope back into the only place where it won't be disappointed? How might that impact your marriage if you chose to put your hope in the Lord instead of just hoping that your spouse would be different or better or whatever you're desiring out of them? What if you put your hope back in the Lord instead of just hoping that your kids would straighten out and do what they were told? If you put your hope back in the Lord instead of in your workplace hoping for a specific promotion or kind of a lucky break, what if you put your hope back in the Lord? And then waited. Yes, maybe treading water just to stay afloat, but in a full confidence that says, I will hold on because I know that I can place my hope in the Lord. I know that I can hold on and He can be trusted. I know that I can hold on and He will come to my rescue. I know that I can hold on and He will work for good, even the brokenness that I find myself in right now. I will hold on. I will endure. I will persevere. I will stick it out. I won't give up. I will endure to the end because I've placed my hope in Him. Lord, we offer You really all that we have, and that's ourselves. Lord, forgive us for the places where we've placed our hope in our own abilities or strength or resource, where we've put our hope in a change of circumstance, or we've placed our hope on others. Lord, when we said yes to Jesus, we put all of our hope in You. Remind us of that today. And give us the courage and the confidence to say that again, to affirm that again. God, our hope is in You. With every head bowed, every eye closed, maybe you haven't done that before. Maybe you've never yielded your life to Jesus. You've never asked Him for forgiveness. You've never received Him as your Savior. You've never actually put your hope in Him. Maybe the most hope that you mustered this morning was just, I hope church maybe has something different for me today. Scripture says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, that you will be saved. That's the starting point. Every head bowed, every eye closed, if you know that you need to do that today, that you need to just say yes to Jesus and put your hope in Him, would you just look up and catch my eye or raise your hand just so that I can know? Yes? Yep. Lord, you see the hearts, the hands, the eyes. Yep. Lord, do that work in them. I thank you, Lord, that as they put their hope in you, your word says that they won't be disappointed. It doesn't get us immediately out of the glass, Lord. We still struggle. There's still pressures. We're hard-pressed on every side, but we are not overcome by our circumstances. We're not overcome by hopelessness. We're not overcome by despair because our hope is in you. Prove yourself faithful to that promise this week. And Lord, help us to walk in hope. In spite of our circumstances, even so, let us hope. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you got a smartphone or a tablet, I want to invite you to take a picture of our action steps for this week. The first one is to place your hope in Jesus. Hopefully we've done that this morning just as we closed. Number two, if you're looking for a place to be involved in the Word of God, read through Psalm 33 each day this week. It'll be something that really feeds your heart, mind, and soul with hope. And then number three, choose a worship anthem this week. I'm sure your kids will be grateful for it.